So the other day, my friends and I, we went through something that no human mind could have ever imagined. So there we were as administrators over Babylon. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar placed us there. And I would think by now he would understand that we only worship Yahweh. But let me explain what actually happened before I start rambling. So my friends and I, just chilling, you know, doing our duties in Babylon as Jews. And then King Nebuchadnezzar decided to build a massive golden image. And when my friends and I saw it, it really didn't matter to me. I didn't think much of it because, I mean, it's typical. It's a typical pagan or Babylonian thing to just, you know, make images. I mean, that's what they do. They worship many gods, they worship idols, but we worship Yahweh. So I just didn't think that this image had nothing to do with me or my friends. But that's what we thought. So Nebuchadnezzar summoned for everyone to come to this ceremony as they were going to dedicate this golden image. And then he made this decree. This decree that just, it doesn't even matter. But he made the decree that we should all bow down and worship this golden image. I mean, hasn't he gotten it by now that we're not going to do that? So he made this thing that when the instruments go off, that everyone should fall down and worship this image. But of course, it's not that simple for us because we're loyal to Yahweh and we're not just going to worship any image. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar made it clear that if you don't bow down and worship this image, you're gonna get thrown into a burning furnace. I mean, yeah, that's serious. Why would I want to be thrown into a furnace? But at the end of the day, like, I will not bow down to a golden image when I serve Yahweh. Mm-mm. Yahweh has done way too much for me. So, it all began. And the ceremony started, and then they blew the instruments, and everyone fell down on their face, started worshiping. And I was just standing there with my friends, and we were just like, okay, but we will not bow down. And so we stood there, tall as ever in Babylon, and we decided we are not bowing down. But then there came the astrologers, coming up to denounce us Jews. And then they started talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, talking about, may the king live forever. Your Majesty, you issued a decree for everyone to bow down. And when you hear the horn and the flute and the harp and everything, that you should fall down to your face and worship the image. And they continued talking. And then they said that, remember, King, you said that whoever doesn't fall down and fall on their face, that they need to be thrown into the fire. I mean, I really thought they were done there. But then they started mentioning names. They were like, there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And then they said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, those aren't actually our names, but we'll let it slide for now. And then they continued to tell the king that we pay no attention to him and that we don't serve his gods or worship the golden image. I thought we made it clear. We're Jews. We worship Yahweh, and we will not bow to this image. Well, of course, now they got the king all upset and he called us to come stand in front of him in his palace. And I mean, great. Now we're put on the spot. And the king started asking us if we really don't worship his gods or bow down to the image. I mean, and then he decides to test us again. And then he said, all right, I'm gonna give y'all another chance. And then he was like, I'm gonna allow them to play the music. Okay. And if you guys don't bow down and fall on your face and worship this image, then you will be thrown into the fire. I mean, why did they even have to say anything to the king? We could have just, you know, cruise along and no one would have known that we were just there standing, not bowing to the image. But whatever. And then the king, he echoed his threat over again and said that we were definitely going to be thrown into the fire. And then he topped it off by saying that he wants to see which god is going to deliver us from his hand. I mean, if you ask me, I think that King Nebuchadnezzar has forgotten all that Daniel told him. Because Daniel clearly told him that his dream that he got from God means that the Lord permits him to be a king. The Lord can dethrone him anytime, but I guess he doesn't care about that. And then I'm pretty sure he has seen that Yahweh has been more present than his God or gods have ever been. So I don't get it. Well, anyways, this is what my friends and I said to him. We said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves respectfully. If we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, with all due respect, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. I mean, can you imagine how upset that made him? He got really furious with us. And then he ordered his men. I mean, his attitude overall changed towards all of us. And he ordered his men, the strongest ones, to make the fire 7 times hotter. 7 times hotter. And to bind all of us, to tie us all up. I mean, who would do that? That's kind of cruel. I mean, it's just an image. But, I mean, whatever. So, they bind us up. All these strong soldiers, they came. They bound us up. They came and they put us near the fire. And can you imagine how hot the fire was that even his soldiers died while they were about to throw us in the fire? I mean, I was a little scared as we were going through this because the fire was, you know, it looks very hot. And then these men bringing us into the fire, they died. So can you imagine what that made me feel like? But at the end of the day, I trust Abba. I trust Yahweh wholeheartedly. So whatever happens, happens. So they threw us in the fire. And I'm just in there with my friends, you know. We're just chilling in the fire. Feeling the presence of God. Just, you know, worshiping Yahweh and moving around in the fire. And then I hear King Nebuchadnezzar's voice from the I'm inside and I hear him outside. And he's like, yo, did we not throw 3 men into the fire? And then his men were like, yeah, we threw 3 men in the fire. And then I'm like, what are they even talking about? Like, I mean, the Lord is with us. I mean, literally. But why is he even shocked? I mean, Yahweh is always with us. Did he not expect that our God would deliver us this way? But anyways, he was like, yo, I see four men in that fire and one of them. And I think this really shocked him because his gods would never. He was like, one of them looked like the Son of God. I thought Nebuchadnezzar didn't even know about my Yahweh. So anyways, he called us out, told us to come out of the fire. So we did. And I mean, it kind of blew my mind because, I mean, I trust Yahweh. But to actually experience Yahweh coming to deliver us like that, that's a gem right there. Okay, we're all in the fire, bound, tied up in a fire, in a furnace that is like seven times hot. And then he releases us and this, we're just walking around, just chilling with him, like in the presence of God, in fire. That was lit. That was lit, literally. But anyways, he called us out and then all his men gathered around us and then they were like looking at us and inspecting us. And then they were shocked because we didn't have bruises and then we didn't even smell like smoke. So everyone was shocked. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't even, when he called us out, he didn't even just say, you know, y'all come out. He addressed us as servants of the Most High God. So he recognized Yahweh. He recognized Yahweh. And then after all this, he made a decree that no one should ever make fun of us for worshiping Yahweh. Because our God is way different than their gods. So yeah, that's our story. Stuffy. Okay, so thank you guys for sticking with me through that. Normally when I'm preaching, I would like to have memorized a little bit more so I'm not looking elsewhere. I tried my best to look at my husband so that I could feel like I'm talking to someone and share the story a little bit more livelier, I guess. But thank you guys for sticking with me through that. But I wanted to, instead of just reading through the verses, verse by verse, I just wanted to try something a little bit different to give it as a story and just to, you know, lively up the place a little bit. So that's that. But there's something that I wanted to highlight, about this particular story as I was studying. And I wrote it down and I'm praying that I'm able to articulate it as it was in my spirit. But I wanted to focus on the names of these three Hebrew boys because we normally refer to them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But when I looked at their Hebrew names, it just spoke to me so much because their Babylonian name strips them of their identity. It strips them of who they are and places a label on them. Almost a label to say that the Lord would never come through for them. But when you look at their Hebrew name, I believe the Lord came through for them in those specific ways. And what I mean by that is when you look at Ananias, it means the Lord is gracious. Versus his Babylonian name Shadrach, which is I am fearful of the gods, you know? Fearful of which gods? I mean, first of all, they, before I even get there, I'll just say it. They stood on that to say, the Lord is gracious to help me. The Lord is gracious to push me and keep me through this. Not kill. What are you doing, tongue? to keep me through this. that the Lord will bring me. He's gracious enough to walk me through the trials and fires. I'm tired, guys. So I feel like that's why I'm tripping over my words, but I'm very tired today. So I'm pushing enough to be able to complete this study in time to be posted. But as I was saying, I believe the Lord uses their Hebrew name as an attribute as to how he delivered them through the furnace. He was gracious enough to bring them to the trial, to bring them through the fire, literally. They were not fearful of the gods. They did not bow down to the image. They didn't care about Nebuchadnezzar's gods. No, they did not. So what they did was to hold on to the grace of God because they knew God would be gracious to them in this situation. And then when you look at Mishael's name, like that reverences God so much, to say who is what God is. Basically, who is above God? Who is like God? And then you look at his Babylonian name that says, I am of little account, or who am I? It almost belittles him as a person, strip him of his real identity, belittles him to think that he's no one. But then I just look at the Hebrew name. And it's who is like God? Who is above God? Who is what God is? No one. And I just see that God shows up and brings them through the fiery furnace and shows that no one, nobody is like who he is, who Yahweh is. And then when you look at Azariah, Abednego's Hebrew name Azariah means the Lord has helped me. Come on! The Lord helped them through this. Nobody else. I just love how they stood when everyone else. It's the epitome of what the Lord has spoken to me about the topic of this entire series, standing tall in Babylon. They literally stood tall in Babylon. When everyone else fell to their face and everyone else decided that they were going to bow in front of this image because whether it was out of fear or whatever it is, they were not fearful of the gods. They were not fearful of King Nebuchadnezzar. And they did not see themselves as invaluable to God, that they didn't believe God would come through for them. They believed that the Lord would come through for them. But they also said that if he does not, I'm fine with that. At least I know that I served Yahweh and I'm loyal to Yahweh rather than bowing down to some random image that you made. And then I am not a servant of these gods. You know who I am? I am someone who believes that the Lord will help me. So the Lord helped them. I just love that. And that's really what I wanted to kind of highlight, because we focus so much on their Babylonian names that we don't even see the miracle in their Hebrew names. The miracle of just who their true identity is and how it shows the attribute and character of God himself. Like, I love that. And I would hope and I aspire to get to that place where it does not matter what it is and who it is that I'm standing up against, as long as I'm holding on to the word of God and staying true to God, that I would say, I will not. And that's where I hope I am, because yes, I've stood against situations before, but this is a big deal. I mean, they stood in front of a king and said, listen, throw me in the fire. I don't care. Throw me in there. I don't care. I'm loyal to God. And that's just who I am. And every single day, I'm just praying that the Lord gets me to that place and keeps building me up I'm not going to say I'm perfect because I am not. And I don't have it all figured out. But I aspire each and every day to get to that place where I'm like, Lord, it's you and just you. And I will not compromise even in the small things. This is a huge thing. I mean, it didn't have to be a huge thing. They could have just bowed that one time and just say, the Lord will understand. But no, they stood tall in Babylon. I can just imagine when everyone was just bowing on their face that they just stood there like, we will not bow. And even when the astrologers came and they started talking, I can just say, respectfully, King Nebuchadnezzar, we will not. Get somebody else to do it, but we won't. Get somebody else to do it. So I just love that. I really love that. And so it reminds me of what Paul said, honestly. To live is Christ and to die is gain. I feel like that is what Paul was getting at in that moment. That he was relating so much to these three Hebrew men that he understood and he could articulate it to say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I feel like that's where these Hebrew men were. They were at. Listen, if we live, it's still going to be God. And if we die, it's gain because your loss, I'm going to live with Abba. What you mean? So that, I love that. So I know I did chapter 3 a little bit different, a little unconventional, but that is what I have for chapter 3. And I pray it was a blessing and a little bit more entertaining, or just draw you in a little bit more to understand that the word of God doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to come off as boring or anything, but there's a story there to tell, and you can say it, you can see it from either perspective, and it can be fun. And that's why I personally love the Old Testament, because there's a bunch of stories, and I love stories, and I love the art of telling stories, and especially when it comes down to the Bible, because you get to sit and just think about, imagine if I were in their shoes, how would I react? So I just, you know, try to do it from a 2024 perspective of the three Hebrew men. But I pray it was a blessing to you all. It's found in Daniel chapter 3. And if you would like, you can go ahead and read it. But as I went through it, I just... Scripture, but 2024 perspective, I guess. But yeah, God bless you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Raw Before Christ. I am your host. I was going to say A1C Barker. Tell me you're in the military and you introduce yourself every day without telling me you're in the military and you introduce yourself every day. But God bless you guys. I'm your host, Carisha Barker. I pray that the Lord will continue to bless and keep you all. And before I go, I'll just pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for every single person who listens to this podcast, Almighty God, who sees it, who listens it, Almighty God. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to stand tall in Babylon, to be able to stand up and say, no, we will not. That even in situations where we could compromise, Lord, that we will see it, our eyes will be open, and we will stand tall to say, no, we will not. We're going to stand on the word of God, and we will be looking different than everyone else. That when everyone else is going one direction, we're going in the direction of the Lord. Just like in The Chosen, we're swimming the other way, Lord. So, Father, I just pray that you will just help us to be able to just stand firm in who we are in you, to be able to continue to hold our identities in you, not allow this world to label us and identify us as what they think we should be, but we will stand tall as children of God. So Father, I just thank you. I pray that you will just have your way. I love you, Lord. And I thank you, Abba. Thank you. Bless everyone. Keep them safe, Lord, on their different endeavors. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you all. And have a nice one. Bye.